Just stay standing with me for a moment longer. We're going to read from 2 Samuel chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 6, beginning with the first verse. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000 chosen men. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they sent the ark of God upon a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. They brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which is at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments, made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him in the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, "The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they had bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatling. And David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting, and with the sound of a trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. And tonight, this message has undergone several titles since God gave it to me. But I believe God has finally confirmed what he wants me to call it. And it's simply this: dying to praise him. Dying to praise him. Lord Jesus, we pray that you'll be with us now as we go into your word, that you would speak to us, that you would enlighten us, that you would bring to us the very things that you would have us to understand. We commit this time into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a seat. Who here had done something thinking they were doing it right, and it was completely wrong? Who's done that? Thinking they've done something that was completely right and it was completely wrong. I have, many times. Probably won't be the last time either. But then you get someone say to you, "What'd you do that for? Why did you do that?" And you know, my answer is, why would I ask if I thought I was doing it right in the first place? Why would I ask? And you know, David, he thought he was doing it right. We read at the beginning there, he had it all there. The people, the music. He thought he was doing it all right. God gave him a sharp reminder, he wasn't. But you know, David never banked on having a dance with death and dilemma on the way to the city of David. He never banked on dancing with the wrong partners, but he did. David was ready at this point to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. He had all the people gathered, he had everyone. And you know, he had even gone to the trouble of making a brand new set of wheels. Our modern day version of a luxury car. And he'd gone to the trouble of making a nice wagon, beautiful wagon to set upon the ark. The ark was put upon this wagon. And David thought, well, I'm going to get some oxen to pull the ark along as well. Something wrong with this? If you know what the law was and how it all worked, this was completely backward. And I can't imagine the roads back in those days being pristine. You know, they didn't have tar roads back then. Didn't have steamrollers to make them nice and flat. They were very bumpy rides. And so it's not surprising that along the way that the cart would hit a pothole. It would hit a bump in the road. And the ark was jolted a bit. In fact, it was jolted so much that it looked like it was going to fall out of the ark, to the point where Uzzah had to put his hand forward to stop it. And it was a result of that. God was displeased with that. And Uzzah was put to death on the spot. We must understand something at this point. Whenever it comes to the things of God, it's all about Him. Every command, every instruction, every detail of what to do and what not to do points it all to being about God. It was never ever about us. It was about God. We are simply instructed to obey. So when one of those commands, instructions, right down to the finest details, is ignored, we are then in contravention of what God requires. And as with this day, with this ceremony, there was a death on the road to recovery. David wanted to recover the ark back to the city of David or Jerusalem. I often wonder that when we come into the presence of God, whether we come with right intentions, but yet completely miss the presence of God and feel like we have died on the inside. And you know, we were on the road to recovery. Then smack, something rocked our world. And we died on the way there. You know, David had it all planned. He had it all planned. This is how I'm going to do it. And this is the problem. It was how he was going to do it. But when we do things our way, it leads only down to one road. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Then there are those who come to the house of God with good intentions, whatever they may be, but they're missing out on some things. They're missing out on having the very word of God and obeying it to its fullest. Who here knows Frank Sinatra? Some of the young ones probably wouldn't know at all, but he's quite well known. And he sang that song, I Did It My Way. Where did he end up? He's way all right. But he ended up there without Jesus. I don't want to do it my way. God doesn't want me to do it my way. God wants me to do it his way. Because his way are true. His ways are just. And as we said before, his ways are full of mercy. His ways are full of kindness. His ways deliver, praise God. My ways only bring destruction. We can't afford to think that good intentions are going to get us where we need to be in the presence of God. David's good intentions led him to have a dance with death on the way. And then he's confronted with another partner, and that's dilemma. And the dilemma was this: once again, the ark was not in the city. And two, David did not know how to bring it up without dancing with the wrong partners. And you know, I can understand David being upset over this incident. Here I am wanting to bring up the Ark of God to Jerusalem, and this is what happened. All the praises, all the sacrifices, all the jubilation come to a grinding stop. As David was shocked at what had taken place. And you know, the only thing David could do at this point was to drop the Ark off somewhere and leave it there. And he so happened to be passing by Obed-Edom's house, Obed-Edom the Gittite. And he dropped into his place. And you know, can you imagine that? Morty, hey Obed, I'm just going to drop the ark off to you today. Don't worry, one person's only died. You've got nothing to worry about. Obed would be fearing for his life. Here it is, the ark, the very ark of God that resided in the tabernacle is now in my house. In my house. Now, if we understand a little bit about the Gittites, we know that they're children of Gath. And who was of Gath? Who did David fight? Goliath. He was of Gath, a Gittite. And so when David fled from the presence of Saul, the men that joined him in the caves were not Israelites only. I'm sure there were a few, but they were Gittites. Discontented men. Men who had issues and problems. They were Gittites, uncircumcised. They weren't Jewish. They did not stick to the customs of God. They were heathen. But it tells me something here. Because while the Ark of God resided in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite, it tells me in that scripture that he was blessed. Not only he was blessed, his entire household was blessed. And that God, regardless of who you are tonight, if you will love God, and get this, if you will love the man of God, you are in the framework, you are in the setting to be blessed by the Lord, because God wants to reside in your house. He wants to reside in your family. He wants to bless you abundantly. 3 months, Obed-Edom got the blessing of Jesus. And tonight I tell you, does God reside in your household? Is the presence of God there? Because if it is, Dad, then you are truly blessed by God. Praise God. Praise God. Yes, we are blessed by Jesus. Amen. And so 3 months, Obed got the blessings of Jesus. And remember, within these 3 months, David was in a dilemma. But Obed-Edom was having the blessings of a lifetime. How can there be so much contrast going on here? Two opposite ends that couldn't even meet. David lost in a dilemma and Obed getting blessed. And you know, it happens this day and age. Through the years I have walked with the Lord, I have seen people get blessed. I've sat back wondering, God, I'm in the season of my life. And yet my neighbor here, he's getting the blessings rain down upon the garden of life. I'm seeing everything he's getting or she's getting, but I seem to be so far away from the presence of God. This is my dilemma. And some people here tonight might be in the same predicament. They might be looking at somebody else and saying, my neighbor, he's been blessed. I can see that the presence of God is in his household. I can see that everything he puts his hand to is being blessed and is being increased, and God is moving in that family. But in the meantime, my house is not getting anything. I cannot feel the presence of God in my life right now. And I know my family seems to be drifting away from the presence of Jesus. But I want to tell you tonight, hang in there for Jesus. Hang in there. Because there's a better thing coming. David wasn't still content watching somebody else getting the blessing. He wasn't content watching somebody else have it all. He said, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to figure this out. And you know what he did? In the book of Chronicles, it gives the same account, but a little bit more detail, and we're not going to cover that detail tonight. But needless to say, David went back to the city and he spent 3 months searching through the law, searching through the word of God, searching through the things of God. And tonight I tell you that if you go back to the basics with Jesus, if you go back to the first principles, if you go back to where the foundation was laid, if you go back to the cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of your faith, you will find something else in there. There are jewels, there are nuggets, there are gems in the Word of God that God wants you to dig out. He wants you to have revealed to you. And David, he went back to the basics. He went back to the basics. And I'm not going to preach long tonight because I believe God wants to do a little bit more here tonight. He doesn't need me to do all the talking. And so, he saw Obed-Edom's house being blessed. And he said, I've got it. The cart and the oxen were not God's plan for his presence. You know, God always wanted the presence to be with people. His love for mankind was for people. He loved you. He loved me because we are people. And so his presence was always going to be about his people. And so they followed the law. They followed the exact process that God wanted. And he sanctified the Levitical priest. And he got them ready. And he got the musicians ready. He sanctified them as well. He got the praise singers ready. You know, this is nothing unusual. This is why we have prayer before church. This is why we have sanctified lives. Because they need to be ready. They need to be ready. We need to be ready. We're praise singers as well. We're praising him. We're singing for him. We're worshiping him. We need to be ready. And so David, after going back to the basics, he said, I've had enough of this. Obed is not going to get all the blessings anymore. God still blessed him anyway, I believe. But he said, you know what I'm going to do? The blessings are for everybody. I'm going to bring the ark of God back to the city, and the whole city is going to be blessed. And David wasn't a greedy man. And you know something? We continue this on. And they get to the procession, and they bring out the ark from Obed-Edom's house. And the Levites bear it upon their shoulders. And at this point, the procession begins. Can you imagine the excitement? Can you imagine this? If you would understand that the ark of God had not resided where it should be for over 20 years. It had been out of the presence or the city of Jerusalem for 20 years. And if you look back a little bit in Samuel, it tells us a little bit of the story, how the ark was first lost. How foolish the people were under the reign of the judges. And they came and said, on a day when they were fighting the Philistines, they said, let's get the ark of the Lord up with us. And they brought the ark of God up with us, with them. But they weren't living for God the way that they should have been. And you know, we can have symbols of things. We can have reminders, testimonials, things in our lives that tell us, yes, we've been blessed by the presence of God. But if we're not living for God, it doesn't matter about any of that sort of stuff, because God is only interested in the here and now. He wants to see us get there. And so that day, 30,000 men died when they fought against the Philistines. And you know what happened? The ark of the Lord was taken from them. And it was carted about in the land of the Philistines. Now I'm summarizing a whole lot here, because we should know a bit of this story. And that the Philistines were cursed. God cursed their god Dagon. Every time they turned up in the morning, there he was flat on his face on the ground. His hands broken off. He was messing their god up. You can't have the God of gods trying to share a spot with another one. He's not going to let you. He's a jealous God. So over goes Dagon. Whew, who's this guy? And so the Philistines got sick of this. They said, okay, we can see we're getting cursed with tumors and boils and whatever diseases. We're going to give it to another city of our fellow men. See if the situation improves there. Well, it didn't. They got tumors and diseases and everything else. And so for 7 months, this went on in the land of the Philistines. God slaughtered them. Slaughtered them. And they finally said, enough's enough. These things have been a curse to us. But you know, to the people of God, it's a blessing. To the world, it's a curse. But to us, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be in the presence of God. I hate it when I hear people blaspheme the name of Jesus, because they curse the very name by which we were saved. But to us, it's a blessing. To us, it's the power of God. The representation of his presence and his spirit in our lives, amen. And so the ark was sent back, and ironically, on a cart, drawn by a couple of, I think, was it cows, oxen, or was it donkeys? Cows, yes. And so and so went on, and it finally ends up in the borderlands of Israel. And Abinadab, and this is where we picked up the story, gets it. And you know something? They started it out well. They did the sacrifices and things like that. But you know what they did? Let's have a peek. They opened up the ark of God, which they were never meant to do. 70,000 people died that day, slaughtered. And they said, okay, this is not a good thing. And so it ends up. Sorry, that was Beth Shemesh. They ended up there first, and then it went to the house of Abinadab. And then we read Ahio and Uzzah were appointed as overseers of the ark. And there it remained for 20 years. And 20 years is a long time if you're in a season. If you're in a season. David went through a season. You know, all that time he was fleeing for his life. Fleeing. And you know, he never stopped thinking about the presence of God. And I still remember that in the scriptures that his three mighty men fought through battle lines to bring him water from the waters of Bethel. And he said, how can I drink this? And he poured it out as an offering to the Lord. And tonight we come to this point. And David, looking back on all of this, and he begins to realize, oh, how I've missed the presence of God in my life. And you know something? We go through seasons, saints of God, but it doesn't mean God doesn't deserve any praise. It doesn't mean that he's not worthy to be praised. And so David, six steps. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And within those six steps, David, he was dancing. And who knows how he was dancing? He was dancing. And I can just imagine it, that the presence of God was there with him, with the ark. And as he began to dance, he began to think about what had happened, what had transpired to bring him to that point. Lord, you are my strength and my shield, my very present help in time of trouble. And they would stop and they would sacrifice and they would make offerings unto the Lord. And then another 6 feet, he began to dance again. We will no longer be called Ichabod. God has departed. But we will now be El Shaddai. God Almighty is with us. Amen. And they sacrificed and made more offerings. And he began to dance again unto the Lord. And he began to praise and to worship. And he gets to the end of 6 feet. And during that time, he's probably thinking, oh, Lord, you have been my redeemer. You have been my strength. Praise God. And he does it again. And he begins to think upon the times of his afflictions. And he said that the Lord, he knows, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord, he delivers them out of them all. Praise God. And he begins to do another offering and another sacrifice. And he starts dancing again in the presence of God. He gets more and more fervent in the spirit. And he begins to praise and to dance even more. This is my God. And I will put my trust in him. And he begins to dance more before Jesus, before our Lord and Savior. And he begins to worship with all of his heart. And he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your strength, with all of your might. Praise God, more sacrifices, more offering. And he starts dancing some more. And he gets more and more fervent in the Spirit of God. And he begins to shout out to God. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Clap your hands, all ye people. Hallelujah, Jesus. And he starts dancing again. He gets more and more excited. For great is the Lord, and greatly do we praise him. Hallelujah. And he gets more and more in the presence of God. And he feels God moving as the ark is moving. And he realizes that God is in the midst of them. And he walks out and he said, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. And I will enter his courts with praise and praise God. He doesn't stop. He just keeps going. He keeps going. Hallelujah. And he realizes 20 years this has been happening. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And Jesus, hallelujah. And yet, we can be here tonight. Praise God. Keep going, brother. And you know something? I can keep going. That's not what God wants. God wants you to keep going. I'll keep going with you. But he wants you to keep going. He wants you to keep hanging in there. He wants you to realize that beyond yourself, God is still worthy to be praised. That the season of your life is coming to an end. And I speak this through the word of the Lord. You've gone through a season. And tonight, God would say to you that he would bring an end to that season. But you would praise him first. Then you would give your life to him first. And he would bring you out of that barren place, out of that wilderness, out of that dry land. And he would put you into an oasis, into a place of plenty once again. And I say this through the name and the word of the Lord. Praise God. What are you going to do right now? What are you going to do right now? What are you going to do right now? Come on. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah.